过去几个月，在各种大型国际会议上，各国领导人都同意应对气候变化是重中之重，各国必须携手合作应对气候危机。来自犹他州的美国国会共和党众议员邝锡恒 John Curtis 最近成立了保守气候变化事务议员团，希望通过私有部门的创新和投资帮助解决气候变化问题。该议员团相信气候变化是个全球性议题，需要所有国家共同合作，尤其是中国。美国之音英语节目 Press Conference USA 主持人卡罗尔·卡斯蒂尔最近专访了邝锡恒议员，请他做进一步说明。邝锡恒议员是众议院中国工作组成员，在2020年的一个报告中，这个小组表示，中共是美国这一代所面临的最大的国家安全和经济挑战。最近，邝锡恒议员和另外几名两党议员提出议案，支持台湾参与国际事务。邝锡恒议员会说中文，他特意录制了一段视频，向中国大陆的美国之音的观众问好。
我的中国朋友，我今天很高兴有这个机会跟你们谈话。我希望你们知道，我好想我中国的朋友，希望我们能够跟在一起做更好的事情。谢谢你们。
下面请看专访内容。
Congressman Curtis, thank you for speaking with VOA.
Thank you, Carol. It's been too long. Let's not wait so long next time.
Sounds good to me.
Congressman Curtis, under former President Donald Trump, many in the Republican Party either denied or minimized the impacts of climate change. The Pew Research Center recently reported that approximately 72% of Democrats believe that human activity contributes to climate change. This as opposed to only 22% of Republicans. Congressman, to what do you attribute this discrepancy between the two political parties over the causes and impacts of climate change?
I really regret that Republicans have allowed ourselves to be branded as either denying science or not caring about the environment. I actually personally don't believe for most of us that's actually true. And like so many things, those on the extremes and the ones that are loudest tend to get all the attention. And my experience by talking about climate as a Republican has been very well received. And I'm finding so many of my colleagues that actually agree with me.
So what prompted you, Congressman Curtis, from the beautiful state of Utah, to create a separate conservative climate caucus for Republicans only? How does it differ, for example, from the bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus?
Well, first, I just want to underscore that. It is an amazing, beautiful state. And quite frankly, probably has a little bit to do, maybe a lot to do with my view of protecting the climate and the environment. Now, to more specifically answer your question, I feel like, as I've kind of watched what's happening, is that a couple of things are unfolding, and that is that Republicans have allowed ourselves, by our silence, to be branded as not caring about the environment. And to be frank, I don't think we have spent enough time educating Republican members of Congress, talking about these issues and our solutions. And so therefore, while I think a bipartisan group is extremely important, I also think a partisan group of Republicans, meaning that they're just Republicans, is very, very healthy to a broader dialogue, because we have been missing from the dialogue. We need to start with some real basics about our ideas and our solutions. And so we can bring those forward to the bipartisan group. And instead of coming with just Democratic ideas, which we normally oppose, bring ideas of our own.
Congressman Curtis, President Biden has elevated climate change to the top of his domestic and foreign policy agenda. He has even proposed legislation that promotes clean energy that would create clean blue-collar jobs in his infrastructure proposals. Are you in favor, in principle, of that more aggressive approach?
That's a really hard question. I don't mind telling you that I have been disappointed with what we've seen coming from President Biden. It's very partisan. Much of it is in the category of kind of what I would say is the extremism. And I represent a county, it's called Carbon County. He's not these jobs he's talking about, they can't touch and feel and see them. They don't like it when somebody from Washington, D.C. says, I'm going to teach you how to code. They're worried about their futures and the futures of their kids. And without actually getting into that community and understanding what this transition and how brutal this transition is for them, it's really hard for Washington to mandate these solutions. And I think we've done a really terrible job of reaching out to communities that are in transition and showing them that we truly care about them. These are good men and women. And in many ways, they bore the brunt of the Industrial Revolution on their backs, both with safety and health and working conditions. And I think we owe them a little bit more than that.
Congressman Curtis, turning to the world stage, the United States and China together represent almost 40% of global emissions. And on his first day in office, as you know, President Joe Biden reversed former President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement, to which China has signed on. Are you in favor of the United States returning to the Paris Climate Accord?
Well, let's just break it down just a little bit. You say that we're responsible for 40%, but we know the U.S. is responsible for less than 15%. That means that China is responsible for a whopping amount of greenhouse gas emissions, far in excess of what's coming out of the United States. And the Paris Accord not only tells them they don't have to cut back, but allows them to increase their emissions for the next 20 years. So, of course, I've got concerns about that. If here again, let me come back to this concept of what really matters is worldwide greenhouse gas emissions. And the Paris Accord fails in cutting worldwide greenhouse gas emissions because we don't hold China accountable. And as a matter of fact, we let them continue to increase their emissions for the next two decades. Now, it depends on who you listen to, but it'll be too late in two decades when China finally gets around, if they ever get around, to cutting their emissions. I think we've got to be more honest about the science in this. And the science tells us that China must engage immediately.
And so you don't think that the Paris Accord does enough to pressure them?
Yeah. I mean, it in the accord, it lets them continue to increase their emissions for 20 years. How can anybody think that that's enough?
Is there a difference between how the accord treats China vis-a-vis the United States or India, for example, or any other large CO2 emitters?
Yeah, so we talk about China a lot, but India must be in the conversation. Russia must be in the conversation. I think one of the reasons that we are a little tougher on China is their kind of refusal to be part of worldwide solutions. I don't know that we're sensing that same thing, for instance, from India. But we've got to be realistic about the economy on the ground in India. We have people cooking with wood. That's a terrible thing for carbon emissions, right? So let's work with India, particularly, who'd be willing to work with us. And this is a really good example where we could use fossil fuels to dramatically lower greenhouse gas emissions coming from India and increase their quality of life in a substantial way by moving them from these wood stoves or coal burning stoves to natural gas.
I would like to return to China, Congressman Curtis. You know, it's a huge challenge for the United States. Beijing is challenging democracy around the world. What do you think is the best way for the United States to approach its relationship with China, especially when Washington has to work with them to combat climate change, even as they commit human rights abuses, for example, against the Muslim Uyghur population in Xinjiang? And what about their crackdown on Hong Kong democracy activists?
Boy, I'll tell you, Carol, both of those points break my heart, and I've been very close to this. Your listeners may remember I speak Mandarin Chinese. I lived over in the Orient for 3 years and have watched very carefully what's happening with the Uyghurs and with Hong Kong, and it is not good. And I was served on the China Task Force last year here in Congress, and this is an oversimplification, but many people feel like we should sever our relationship with China, that we should decouple our relationship. And if you compare this to a marriage, I'm proposing we don't need a divorce, but we do need marriage counseling, right? The relationship is not healthy.
Yeah.
And it's not a healthy relationship. And the trajectory is not a good trajectory. And there's a heavy burden on President Biden's shoulders on this. This may be one of the very most important things he does. And you can view that from a climate perspective. You can view that from a human rights perspective. You can view that from an economic perspective, right? Almost any lens you put on, this is a serious problem for President Biden, and one for which he needs all of us to help him move the trajectory to improve this relationship. We don't have the luxury of having a bad relationship with China. We must fix this relationship, but it is very, very broken.
So do you have any specific policy recommendations that you would encourage the Biden administration to take towards China?
You know, I was originally a big critic of President Trump's tariff approach. And I've been pleased, actually, in hindsight now, that President Biden has not changed that very dramatically. That helps us hold an upper hand. One of the things I think that's too often overlooked is that the stronger our relationship is with other countries, the more we're able to change our China relationship. So continuing to strengthen trading ties, like doing things like the new MCA with Mexico and Canada, and getting back into trade agreements with our other, allies around the world, all of those things will strengthen our hand as we deal with China. And we've got to have partners in this around the world, and a lot of partners that have the type of influence that's needed with China.
I guess you must be heartened somewhat then in the aftermath of President Biden's trip to Europe with the EU partners and NATO. They seem to be more in sync on China as a threat and work perhaps together.
You know, I think that's true. And we haven't talked a little about COVID. There's still a lot we don't know about COVID and its origins. But I think in many ways, COVID has awoken a lot of our partners around the world to say, look, we've got to understand what's happening over there in China. I think a lot of Americans are now understanding some of the things that you've talked about, with the human rights violations and some of the other things that are happening over there, to realize that the relationship's not as healthy as many people have thought that it was.
Congressman John Curtis, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us.
好的，我们感谢美国之音记者卡斯蒂尔的采访。来宾发表的是个人观点，并不代表美国之音。